The forge has gone quiet, the bellows blow no more. The forge has gone quiet, the smiths have gone home. Only fading embers remain, and my hearth grows cold. One kiss from you to rekindle it all.
Welcome back to Queen of Embers. We're in episode 43. We're going to jump right in. Nick's going to jump in. What is going on here?
I'm trying to draw the can.
But you can go ahead and close it.
They can't see his face anymore.
So
only we get to see his face.
You're currently in the shipyards of Kael Tirion.
Having a shopping extravaganza.
That's right. Buying things and shopping things and shipping things. I'm looking for a local FedEx.
I'm looking for their Harbor Freight.
I'm looking for my Amazon. What is that called? Lockbox?
Those are Whole Foods.
That's right. So, without further ado, you will follow the barrister through the bluffs. And she will take you far above onto the main street of the city. Far above the hubbubbery down below of the lower city. The Emperor City is very different. From here, you can see the sun setting in the west. You can see the beautiful pink and blue azure skies opening up before you as clouds kind of hang lazily in the air from a rain, perhaps, a few nights before. The city up here, whereas down below it is rough and tumble and made of hewn wood with hard, rough edges and unfinished refinery. Up here it is made of rotten stone. It is like an entirely different city. And they similar stock of folk, but certainly those who are less industrious and more inclined to other things. There are a great number of tall, soaring towers and other types of buildings throughout here, up to and including a number of surrounding walls that keep Kael Tirion above safe from the encroaching forest beyond. There are a number of tall, soaring apartments, folk kind of trapping in the street, children, men, women, going about their business. Since the sun is setting, most business is being wrapped up. You pass by a local wine sink, but do not pause long enough to catch its name. Following the barrister and Sammy and Wolfgang and Hrung Bigley and Cecilia Vander, all of you make your way to the Dupre Pavilion, a summer home just on the edge of Kael Tirion. It sits upon a low hill and has a surrounding acreage about it. And there's no one really here save for a footman, an aging footman, who will actually meet you toward the iron rock gates that kind of bars it from outside of Kael Tirion, keeps the people from Kael Tirion from wandering in. But this is actually near a street that is well cobbled, and it terminates at kind of a cul-de-sac where you see the Dupre Pavilion rest. And as you can imagine, it's a small fortified manse, a dilapidated build. Apparently, the surrounding yards are kept well. They clearly have started, the people they have hired to kind of tend to the grass and take to the bushes are still doing their work in earnest, perhaps for the arrival of the barrister. But would it have been the baroness herself, the work would have already been done. You come inside what is almost kind of like a... what's the name of that Grey Gardens, that documentary about the Kennedy sisters, whatever it is?
About Little Edie?
Yeah. You come into like one that almost kind of feel, but from outside it looks like it's dilapidated. Inside the walls are stuccoed and have bearings of where water has leaked within. The floors creak beneath your footing, but it's a very large ballroom as you kind of come inside of it with this large sweeping staircase that's stacked with broadsheets. The place is
really cold. They haven't lit the fires, and even those who and the footman who keeps this place, an aging man named Ernst.
Stab him immediately.
Do you stab him? Is it in the library?
Yeah, with a candle.
That's right. He speaks to the barrister and introduces himself, and she introduces herself as well and says, "You know, these people will be staying with us here. They are honored guests. They will be allowed to come in and out as they please, day or night." And he simply says, "Do they have horses?" And she says, "No." And from there, you will find she will the aging footman.
We have one.
You said one horse.
That's right. They'll stable it.
Yeah, okay.
But he said horses. That's plural.
Oh.
So
he's got hers, I'm sure.
They will see to your horses, and the aging footman Ernst will take you to your rooms on the second floor that overlooks the fields down below. It's certainly the fanciest place you've ever stayed in, but it's under ill repair. There's cracks in the stucco in the ceilings and on the walls. The doors are heavy enough, but they do not lock. The brass has not been polished. The beds, iron wrought as they are creaky, and kind of the springs inside of them kind of bounce and squeak a bit. You're actually kept not within the guest quarters, the lower guest quarters below the house, like,
mm-hmm. right?
But in the guest quarters above, which would speak to a higher station. So you're not simply treated as people who would be befitting to sleep down the cellars with the rest of the help. You're actually given a second floor guest room that's shared between all of you, likely for the attendants who are well-born and bred that are not low-born, but still deserving of a common room. No privacy in here among all of you. The room is simply, it is large enough to keep all of you. Inside, you go.
But it's just the six of us, right?
Yes. So you are here.
Seven.
I'm guessing your wife's
going to stay with us? Madam Barrister shall see you for dinner,
Ernst says.
At least only take one room.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Shall I fetch you some water or something to... something light to snack on,
he says.
Both ends would be wonderful.
Warm milk, too?
Ah, yes.
Water just for me.
As he dodders away, you kind of imagine this old man in the middle of the night wearing a nightgown with a cap and holding a single candle and a lamp, like wandering down these halls, seeing to the many people who would be able to be kept within the Dupre Pavilion, but it is only you all within here, so you'll have his undivided attention, or as best the attention that he can possibly give you, being as aged as he is. But the place seems somber. The door clunk. Comes to a shed as he brings you something to eat, some bread, some cheese, some warm milk, some water.
Thank you.
You take to washing yourselves, at least in the water basin. There are private, there's a shared and a private restroom here. Water closets, I should say.
Fancy.
Well, I reckon I was going to say once I became old Wolfgang the other night, but, you know... Man's got to have his own privacy. I will assure you, the disease in question is
contagious.
Is not contagious.
Oh, that's good.
Nor is it of a dire nature, and he will be seeing to it presently now that he's in the city. I won't go into any further detail of his request.
All right.
Not good news, though.
Well, that's a strange disease.
Hey.
His business.
Alright.
I mean,
so you can't cut back the layers of that.
So it wasn't grayscale.
And he ain't gonna die. Gray.
I told you. Not contagious. Not dire. Take care of it.
All I care about.
And he wants his privacy maintained. He has a gentleman's disease.
I assured him I wasn't going to breathe a word of what it was.
You bring up a good point. I think you might be correct.
I will leave that alone.
You best.
Even best.
Sometimes the best things happen to the best people.
Yes, I was thinking that.
Was there?
It couldn't have happened to a better person.
Was there a brothel in Hastings?
I reckon there's brothels everywhere if you look hard enough.
I'm sure you can find someone brothel or not.
I mean, if his sister is so well high married, I imagine he might even have a missus. Did you even ask him?
No. I mean, again, it's a gentleman's disease. It's
right.
Just dropping.
AKA not our business.
Yes.
Let's just keep the man's business to himself. That's all I say.
He didn't keep his business to himself.
So crass. These youngins.
Well, she is a bit of a girl, you know. She's young.
Yes. Quite.
A bit of a girl. I think you have the same problem. I'm sorry. At least you're making me. Making me talk like Paul the Talk.
There's a parlor you can sit in and talk, actually.
Maybe we continue with what we need and leave him to see his own needs.
You know, there was once a great Aglidorian host where 70% of their soldiers were certainly more killed by gentleman's disease than by sword and bow and axe.
Really?
I said nothing about a gentleman's disease. Tittering aside,
I reckon he's killed.
You will gain 2 corruption for that.
Fair enough.
I don't think I've ever heard of this
branch of history, though.
It is spoken of in other towns, but. It is unquestionable that is what befell them. More than were laid to earth on the battlefield, in fact.
I would say anyone who's been trained in any sort of warfare would know that's very much true. Disease is the most killer of an army than sometimes swords or spears or bows.
Let's drop the subject.
All right. Well,
it really doesn't set right with me.
I was talking about warfare.
Well, I think I shall... look through this book some more. I found some interesting things in it last night. Yes.
That's good.
Anything that would be interesting to a person like me?
Looking at the cauldron, it does appear that said fire was not at the cauldron, yet on the deck.
Well, I mean, like, normally you wouldn't want the fire in the cauldron. You want the fire heating up the cauldron.
But the mechanism, you would think if there was some kind of explosion, some kind of fire or whatever, it would have happened at the source, but it didn't.
Well, I thought we talked about earlier where heat rises, so wouldn't the fire go up?
Not necessarily.
Well, there's been...
You've got a deck between. It should have eaten through said deck, don't you think?
I don't know.
Well, there's been some buildings that are heated by a stove.
Yes.
And, if you don't have the point where the stove leads to the outside done right, I mean, I don't know what it is.
It could cause soot or fire.
Yeah, it could cause a fire. Not where the fire is, but where the fire's going.
Yes.
But shielding is what that's called.
Or sealing, yes, but...
I think I figured out
somewhat how the cauldron could be started. I don't know that it's really useful information, but it's at least interesting.
Certainly.
But I do believe that if I am able to go through the codex, I might find more information in this particular... I don't know what that was.
That was Sirenscape. Thank you, Sirenscape.
I'm trying to find the right...
I do believe we're haunted. Has anyone seen anything?
I pulled my gun.
What is going on here?
Where are they?
So the mechanism didn't fail.
No.
Ventilation?
Possibly. It serves to reason that I might need some more information before I make that conjecture.
Makes sense. Yes.
Next thing
I know I've looked over these books with you, but I just can't seem to... Can't seem to break the same walls.
Well, Terwin, we made it here. Mm-hmm. I reckon it's time to reconnoiter and figure out what's going on and set the task.
Reconnoiter a bath.
Hey, y'all!
You're standing on the other side of the door.
Come in. What y'all doing?
He comes in.
Having some refreshments. Please join us.
The cleanest you've ever seen this man in his entire life.
Come on, just join us.
Bathed, his hair, red hair, kind of greased back with water. His beard nice and fresh. His clothes, still a little dirty, but...
Got the sound of one of the armoires. It's a bit dusty, but... It fits. Yeah. Mind if I pull up a chair?
No, join us for some refreshments.
We're just getting set.
Good.
The baths, they downstairs.
It's time for the old man. He'll heat the water up in the walls.
Well, oh, a plumb system. Nice.
Why
would you put plums in the wall? It's plumb crazy. Is plumb crazy.
Oh, God.
Piping.
Oh, all right. With, like, the stove and whatnot. Okay.
Similar.
Yes. Thank you.
The future arrives.
Both right metaphorically and really.
And then again,
now. My line. I left them with the ships, with the quartermaster down below. They charge a pretty steep penny. It's a good damn thing that we're turning this thing over.
Do we need to take it to the actual
Baron's castle?
How do you reckon you get it up there? He laughs.
Sammy, that's not my deal.
Damn near took me 3 months to build that cradle before. No, we'll just leave it down. We leave it down there. I got the ship's deed. Well, Wolfgang's got it, I should say. I figure when all this business is done and Baron Hoosie wants it, gets all sorted out, well, we'll give the deed to him.
How is your master?
He's in the city seeing to,
that illness?
Sickness.
Everyone needs a physician.
But they do.
Yeah, everyone needs a helping hand from time to time.
I didn't have the equipment to see to him.
We trust our physician. I understand that some people think he's less than qualified, but he's who works on me.
Alright, his treatments during the reek helped me out quite a bit.
Well, no. No offense intended, but if I got an ear hanging halfway off my head, I'm not gonna trust you to sew it back on. Girl, Stetter?
I would.
Well, that's your own situation, but if you're out in the field, sometimes you don't have a choice with me.
Well, it's a good damn thing we're not in the field! So!
He looks eagerly toward all of you.
Well, you're here now.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, your job's done, right?
That's a good question. I figure I'll head back with Wolfgang to Durendal. We gotta get her back after all. Business ain't done here.
So you're gonna stick around for the party?
I don't think I'll be going anywhere near that party.
I didn't say go too, but I just said sticking around.
You sure? I mean, the train agency's accepting new recruits day by day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want to impose, and to be fair, I overheard a little bit of what you were talking with the lady about, and that ain't quite my business.
Do you have a cloak? And a dagger?
I look like a man who has enough silver to buy a cloak.
No.
I got a raincoat.
Hey.
That's about as good as I got.
One serves more purpose than the other.
Well... Nah, I don't think I'll be joining you. You got a interesting time, I suppose, ahead of you. But we'll certainly see each other again before we leave Kael Tirion.
So, What's your... Have you been here before?
Phil Tyrion? Sometime back, about 5 years ago. Right after the Dupre stronghold was burnt. Sorry, but Emery's stronghold, he says.
Where would you suggest we have a nightcap tonight?
Well, you want to find anything in the city, you stay down below. But that sun sets, and I can let you through the gate, so you'll be stuck down below. So take that for what you will.
Once the sun sets, you can't get to the lower city.
Can't get to the upper city.
That's right. The Alorites keep it all locked up tight.
But we're in the upper city.
Fucking Alorites. Right, but the good drinking places are down below.
I got that. That seems to be just cutting me off at the feet is what I'm trying to suggest here.
Well, just have your nightcap during the day.
Well, it ain't a nightcap then.
There are certainly places around here to get your drink, but not quite the type I like to rub shoulders with. Besides, they give me the long glance, being a Grawlstetter and all. Not talking fancy like they do, them Rovanian nobles.
I know the type.
Yeah, I know the type, too.
He looks to Harper.
I know the type three.
I'm just joshing you.
Hey, I know an aristocracy person. I'm just a normal...
You like to pretend, don't you?
That's exactly what a spy would say.
That's exactly what an aristocracy would say.
Hey, I wasn't born with a silver spoon. It was brass.
Yeah, that'll be fair. Your brother was born with a silver sword in his hand.
Right,
so.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, very much so.
No, I'm just saying I don't know much about the upper city. It's kind of on you all. Between you and me, I'm trying to talk Wolfgang to go down to lower city with me to stay down there, but, I mean, if there's anybody who's going to attend to his sickness, it's going to be someone up here. So I guess, stay here and live in the high life.
As he looks around, are they dilapidated, leaking mansion?
Living the high life. And taking for what I can. They got a whole larder downstairs full of food. Why would a man need to go anywhere else? Or a woman, for that matter.
Get a drink.
Drink? We've been on the ship. We almost got killed by painted giants.
That old man said he's bringing in jugs.
Jugs?
Warm off the teat.
Warm off the teat.
Goat milk.
Oh, I
don't curl your nose.
I just had some milk. It was fine. I'm not curling my nose. I'm curling my nose because I'd rather have wine at this point after the...
I'm sure they'll have wine at this so-such dinner. I mean...
Watch well,
this fancy bears of Rosalia Mansfield, you know she's something special anyhow. She ain't gonna have no dinner without no wine. Y'all been through hell and back. I mean, who wouldn't celebrate the little bit of bubbly or whatever?
Bubbly? Now you've sparked my interest.
Well, ain't no your name bubbly here. I'm just joshing you.
Why don't you show me where this larder is, and maybe I can stumble into the wine.
There's no wine down there.
Well, all right.
You hear Ernst as he can have daughters in.
Dinner is served, he says.
Well, I guess it's time.
The music's right on cue.
You come down into the dining area, and the table has certainly been set to some degree by the footman, and there is a long table with a white terry cloth put up on it with little doilies. It appears to be stained in places. There's these candelabras resting up on it. The outside world kind of disappears behind the darkness beyond the windows. And you were all kind of in solitude in this dining room as Ernst brings in the food, and you're sitting on creaky old wooden chairs, and the pocket doors to the room is closed, and you begin to eat, and you're using forks and knives made of silver on porcelain plates, and it feels very, very strange to those who are not born of the aristocracy. You're like, wait, I do this with a thing? But I use a fork in the... You don't use the fork and the knife in the same hand? You use it in two different hands? Ernst will drop napkins in your lap, and it all feels very strange, at least for those who are not of the social class of aristocrat.
I'll tap my glass every time Hermes comes around.
Yeah. I would be remiss if I did not pour your wine myself.
No.
She takes the bottle from Ernst. To look at that. Old man, please, just... As a token of my... Well, of my frustration, I suppose, earlier, she says. She pours the wine. I am sorry, truly, she says.
Master, it's all fine. It's all fine. We all were a little frustrated after we almost got ate by giants that were painted in blue woe, and the man was drowned on the ship slash flying boat.
She can't help but laugh.
Yeah.
Was taxing on all of us. But the wine tastes wonderful.
For what it is worth, I am sorry. There is a weight, I suppose, that I did not feel on my shoulders until we were near Kael Tirion. And it all came crashing down.
Well, you forgive in my eyes.
I took no offense. No need to give forgiveness.
Good.
I did take offense, but you all forgive.
She smiles. I forgive you.
What if Master Wolfgang is... Will he be joining us, or is he still under the weather?
Master Wolf... Oh. Yes, Wolfgang, she calls it by his first name, will be staying in the city.
Ah.
You eat, you make some small talk. So, she says, to the matter at hand. Have any of you been to Kael Tirion before?
I have not.
No, Molly.
And you, Master Bandit?
I hope you don't mind my joining your table. I feel like everything's sort of above the board.
You are a guest, Dupre.
Thank you. Yes, as a matter of fact, I have been to the city. It has been a number of years. I was a very young man.
Oh, tell me, where did you stay?
Oh, we stayed in, I certainly remember the courtyards were stone and the trees were sparse, for I couldn't have been more than, six or seven winters, likely.
Oh, you were quite young then. I am sorry, I mistook your age.
I'm older than six or seven now.
You see, you suspect that the barrister is probably in her mid-20s. Well, she continues her story. I spent a number of years here studying law in preparation, I suppose you could say, beneath the tutelage of Elorinites here in the city. It's where I spent most of my days. I was not raised in forming school or anything of that sort. I was born plain and low, I guess, but the Baroness saw something in me, I suppose, and I was sent here and has spent my life in study and service to her.
So you have contacts in the city?
Indeed, she says. More specifically, the Baroness and the Dupre have many contacts throughout the city. In fact, Baron Bernard Dupre, her namesake, her father, was born here as she's cutting her food. And she puts the knife, she switches the knife and fork in the same hand every time she eats. She doesn't eat with two hands like this. She's clearly Romanian. You can tell, like, she's burger. I think you know it already by judging by her affectations, of course. Although she puts on airs. He was born here, as was the Baroness. They spent some time in Hastings. Hastings was once a holding of the Dupre. Some number of years until the business with the Genevieve, she says. But here we are.
These things used to have walls, right?
What's that? I'm sorry.
That was an inside joke for
from.
The Hastings used to have more bombs.
I think it did.
they got destroyed by the Genevieve.
Yes.
So, Baron Bernard Dupre was my first sponsor, and then when he passed on, the Baroness had taken to me and my family.
We were discussing about Clayton Arcay and the lesser and what we should do.
Yes, indeed.
I think the boss is you and Elisa came up with a plan, but it's simple. As Warren has suggested, we don't know the lay of the castle. We don't know the people involved. We don't really know anything. But is there a way that we can get an audience with him to discuss what you have learned?
That's a good question. Let me tell you what I have learned since coming to the city. We've only been here but a few short hours. A few folk have come to visit me. I have requested the guest list for the masquerade. I have confirmed it is indeed a masquerade where, as you well know, the people who are born better than us can make jackanapes of one another behind masks. A coterie of blue bloods and others, and their attendants will certainly be there. And perhaps, you know, these masquerades, if you know anything about those at the upper crust, this is an opportunity for them to sow their oats, so to speak. This party is very exclusive. I am not entirely sure they will get the entire guest list. Furthermore, I strongly suspect that Baron Clayton Arcay will be indisposed in preparation. Seeking eyes that may be difficult. I was hoping to make introductions while we were at the masquerade, at least to you, to him. However, I'm even questioning that now after some thought.
So are we going as guests or as servants?
That is an excellent question. I don't know. This is not my area of specialty. The areas of subterfuge in this fashion and who you are presented as, it is not my area of expertise. Well, my understanding is the Dufresne operate in all manner of fields, and in particular the Dufresne's mission, I suppose you could say, is they figure things out.
Yep. So in order to do that, we need some questions answered.
Certainly, of course. Some all ears.
She takes another long drink of the wine.
We've got some questions, and then maybe you have answers, maybe you don't. But if you can answer at least one, we'll be a little bit further along than we were before. So, earlier you mentioned they wear these masks as japes. Jokes. What are they making jokes at?
Well, Master Vander, as I understand it, you are gentleborn. Perhaps you can illuminate us.
Because, well, if they normally wear these masks to make jokes of, like, you know, important political figures, and I go as, like, say, you know, a chimney sweep, you know, that wouldn't be very, you know, I'd stick out like a sore thumb, right? So what are they making japes at?
Think. Boss, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb, no matter what.
If I open my mouth.
True.
So this is actually quite an interesting story.
He begins.
So, this practice goes back for at least a few hundred years, where when court would be made, that they would put on a painted smile in order to do political business. The idea that someone, well, I'm sure you've heard the expression of pat you on the back while preparing the knife. Consider it to be sort of the origins of this practice. These dramatic masks that I use the word jape to describe have a painted on permanent fixture, a mockery of a smile.
So they ain't dressing up like anything in particular.
They're dressing up simply as themselves. A little paler, than I guess, most of the time, but the smile represents the masks that we all wear in order to do business.
So it's not like they're hiding from the poison cradle or something. It's just what they do?
No, they're hiding. They're hiding their faces behind masks. Those masks will have a permanent smile. So you can't tell what the person is actually expressing. That is the jape. They can be smiling with you or smiling against you.
Well, that doesn't sound very funny to me.
It's very much my class.
It's a little dry, I'll give you.
So they put on masks.
That'll be the only thing dry about the proceedings, I can assure you of that.
So they put on the masks, ask like a bunch of fools, but since they're wearing masks, no one can hold them to it. Is that the idea?
Well, no, they won't be holding the masks in front of their face for the whole time, but it is representing of the idea that they're presenting when they are on the dance floor. They will hold the masks in front of their faces, like as a joke. But as you said, it's enough to make the proceedings a little confusing, particularly if you're trying to take account of a large group of them. And they all kind of look the same.
There's the point. We will not know who is who. We will not know.
Well, I have some interesting news to share about that.
Unless there's favors.
I assume our host would probably have a different mask at least.
I strongly suspect that Baron Clayton R.K. shall be dressed as others. He is a baron in name, but in name only. He's a lord more so. I suppose they call him Baron because he is the highest ranking noble here, but it is not the nobles who rule Cael Tyrion. That much is for certain.
Then who does?
The Alorinites. Cael Tyrion is where they are trained.
So,
the great library once stood here, in fact.
So the Alorinites run the place, and
in a manner of speaking, I suppose. Depends on what you mean by run.
Control it. Yeah, I mean it's not like they do the day-to-day business or nothing. No, but
does the lion concern himself with ants?
Yeah, we're saying the same thing. Yeah. So
the lion might if it steps on an anthill.
So, I was going somewhere with it.
It's okay.
There is an aristocracy, a loose aristocracy that stands here in Cael Tyrion, remnants, I suppose, of the bastard king's court, and other hanger-ons and sycophants who have come to take his place of others, as those seats have been vacated. Cael Tyrion's politics is, to put it lightly, is rather, it is mostly, much like the masks, is a fixture and nothing more. It means little beyond these walls. However, Cael Tyrion plays a very important position on the river.
So, who would stand the benefit from Clayton's death?
That is a good question.
Well, see, if the Lower Knights...
Let us not speculate until we have debriefed completely.
Ah.
So remember...
Let us talk about the importance of Cael Tyrion first.
What the Lower Knights do, they are the civil servants. If you want to think about it that way, they are the ones that run the city, the taxes, the collections. Well, the education...
It is your opinion, I suppose.
It's not my opinion, is it not the way of the entire kingdom?
It is a rather fractured way to look at it.
And maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it seems rather obvious to me. I'm not I'm no expert in politics or civil affairs by any stretch of the imagination. There are ones who know far more than I do, certainly, but if you have a baron that is going to make a political alliance with a very grand gift and a very grand place with someone who is garnering political allegiances in order to defect, and that person winds up dead. Well, that seems like that would be disincentive for anyone else to do so.
Right.
Indeed. To tell the truth of it, Kael Tirion, although its family lines here are mean little in the grand scheme of things, one thing that Lord Clayton Hawkeye has is the Lower City. He receives the benefits of the taxes. He also controls the Wharfmaster as well as the River Wardens. Should the River Wardens draw the dams, because remember, the Axewater passes through but through one city, should they draw the dams up, no ships may go north to Old Lork to make its way into the west. No ships may go south to Roeline unless they go by land. And that is a precarious situation, particularly for communities who rely on river travel. Kael Tirion, to say that Kael Tirion is not a strategic stronghold would be vastly understating its importance. The Bastard King understood this. The Baroness understands this. And should she be able to seal the agreement with Clayton Arkay, then it's a foregone conclusion that should she need to play that card at any point, she could. But it is enough merely to have some to have your enemy know that you can draw that card, but that is at your ready, to at least ward them away from making foolish decisions. So the Lord becomes a true baron. He is upjumped, made Baron of Kael Tirion. Should this come to be, Lord Clayton has already made agreements with the Baroness, but I am here to ensure that his seal is firmly applied to the documents, she says. An affirmation of support that can be taken before the ministry.
Curiosity, knowing the particular political stances and such in this place. The man that is a lord, now self-proclaimed somewhat as a baron, is the one we're going after, not the Eloranites.
Why would you go after the Eloranites? They are teachers and scholars.
But they run this place.
No, they don't. As I said, it's a very fractured way to look at our order.
I suppose. I don't understand the gravity of such a gift to a person that's not even quite a baron.
I think it comes down to what she just said. The whole reason the Bastard King was able to foment or create his kingdom is because of Kael Tirion.
That's correct.
You control the river, you control the trade.
Essentially,
so
think of it.
Starve
right.
Half the kingdom.
The Bastard King essentially had a hand around the throat of Aglador, which is why Cassander Malister never actually tried to take the city back. Right? Because he knew if he did so, he'd basically be choking himself off, which would likely lead to more ruin than prosperity. I guess the Baroness is thinking the same thing. If she can control this, then, well, that also helps keep the East a bit safe as well. So, from a strategic point, this city is very important. And if this man is the one that controls the river, then he controls the city.
I think there may be some misassumptions of what I'm stating. Saying is, could there be that there is some animosity possibly towards the Baron, considering he is not necessarily the only one that has some kind of power in this place?
Certainly. I think we would be unwise to ignore the fact that there are social circles with a very small place that are fairly parochial, those who may not necessarily agree with the cessation. It is not to say that his enemies, if you would truly call them enemies, know of this, but the Baroness does have those who would stand against her, even in Durendal. So...
Is this really a secret anymore?
As
It's interesting you should mention that, because from words of travelers to the west of Durendal, Grawlsetters, I feel that this has probably made it at least to Old Lork at this point. It is only a matter of time until it spreads further west.
That's my fears. It's strike where the iron's hot at this point. That's why she's moved so quickly, right?
Indeed. It is why we were so rushed as we were to gather the following morning to strike out. Commander Tannenfelder is in the city here. He is here.
I'm glad he was able to make it. Did he run into any problems?
I've not yet to make contact with him, but we will certainly see. If we don't speak to him between then and now, we will certainly see him in the masquerade.
Well, we still have all of tomorrow before the masquerade, right?
There are many preparations I have to make personally for that. I will have no time to attend to that.
Right.
Is there any way for us to see the hall where this is going to be attended at? Is there any way for us to... honestly, to protect somebody, you have to know the layout.
Trust me, I agree.
Only saying your words.
Know that this masquerade is taking place on the winter solstice. This has been months in preparations. The Baron will do nothing to interrupt the flow of service. The pomp and circumstance and the rituals that the noblery observe, he will make no decisions that would potentially jeopardize that. I do not feel that it's an option. I'm sorry.
No.
Not the best of answers.
No, just trying to...
If there happens to be preparations being made, there are people making said preparations.
That's who we want to talk to. That's what I was trying to get to.
There's also a question I have. You state you know that this assassination is at least to be attempted, or there's been news of it. Who gave you this information?
Sorry, it's autumn solstice, not winter solstice. Oh, gosh, what's wrong with me? Is solstice mid-winter? Is it mid-autumn?
Equinox is the autumnal equinox.
There's two equinox, spring and fall equinox.
So this is the end of fall.
Summer
and winter.
Okay. So this is the end of autumn.
This would be equinox.
Right.
Equinox would be mid-autumn, right? It's the mid-autumn. It's the midpoint of autumn.
There's not really an end of autumn.
That's usually harvest festival.
That being said, preparing for the mid-autumn celebration, I do not feel it is probably an option. Certainly seek it out if you wish, but you must prepare as well.
Is there a quartermaster? Is there a...
surely.
Someone of burgher status, someone that I can, not to say it this
way. Cut his purse? Your words, I'm sorry. Is there somebody you wish to manipulate, I guess is what you're asking?
I was going to say put my thumb on, since I do have class above him and you. Please, not...
You will find, my Western friend, you will find that your blood means nothing here. You are not Ravanian. They will not care whether you're an aristocrat or the king himself. The people here are incredibly parochial and small. The autumn court, I suppose, is very small.
Well, I guess Jonathan is our only path, then.
Hmm? He looks up. I'm sorry, what?
He holds station above you and me, and he will most likely hold station above a simple quartermaster.
All men hold station above me. Master Pettigrew.
I would not suggest that.
It is true. I am, after all, working in a man's field. Dunch. No, but the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is, in Kael Tiran, they will not care whether you are born from the west or you are born well in the east. The courts here are very parochial. It's very... The city may look large, but the place is very small. To be truthful, I do not know enough of the Baron or his court. I know specifically what screws to turn should it come to that to ensure that the Baron affixes his seal to the documents. However, until I get this guest list, I can't even begin to speculate as to who will be attending, much less his right-hand person. But a quartermaster he will certainly have, that is for sure.
In order for you to make sure he puts a seal on it, he's got to live through it. So I'm a bit interested in what Elisa asked earlier. That was, how did you come by this...
assassination information.
Yeah.
Well, she says, the Baroness maintains a network of informants. This is certainly inherited from her time spent with the Genevieve. I believe we spoke before about Madeleine Dupre's status before she was before she became a baroness.
Obviously. I understand she has a network.
No, no.
She was a prisoner of war.
That's correct.
Yes.
The Genevieve have a deep abiding dislike for the Baroness. The divorce has certainly not done anything to cessate this. Look at the saltpetermen and what they were doing in the streets of Durindal beneath the Baroness's nose. They are thumbing the nose at her. Coming to arms, coming to violence in the streets, unheard of. Against you all, in fact. So consider this, that although the circles here are small, she has had to do what she must do to survive. The network of informants would not be unrealistic. It is why we have been able to get such information, and not without a price, certainly.
You have answered nothing. I simply state who told you. I understand that she has some kind of network.
I am not at the... I cannot tell you who, but I can tell you what information was given to me.
A directional source of some sort, just so that we might know where this particular threat might be coming from, is all I'm asking.
That I can answer.
All right, then.
So, our informants have informed us that the assassin will be wearing blue.
Does that state told something, some kind of group?
Of course it does. Anyone who is at the party will be able to recognize this item of blue, whatever it may be, and they will know that they are the assassin, those who would stand against the Baron. It'll be a tell of sort, I suppose. What that item is, we do not know. Whether it's a sash, a banner, a mask, a glove, a pair of pants, a feather.
How common, and since it's parochial and I seem not to know of my own station or class in this backwoods, whatever place we're at again. How common is blue?
Very uncommon.
Very uncommon?
Very uncommon, yes.
Indigo dye is kind of hot.
Expensive. No. Not from these lands, that's for sure.
I know of one out.
No house colors.
I know of one
no
house color.
Yes.
It's white and blue.
Genevieve.
Uh-huh.
Well...
the only one that I could think of also, but...
It's not to say that the Genevieve are...
For some reason, I know all of the crest.
It is not to say that the Genevieve are behind this, but were one to create I don't know what you would call it, I'm drawing a blank.
Facade?
The facade that the Genevieve were behind it. Blue would certainly be the color that they would wear.
Right.
So.
But it will be a physical tell to others who know who the assassin is.
Could this not be a ruse in itself?
Right.
How sure are your informed, your sources of this information?
Sources have never led us wrong. It is what brought us here in the first place.
So here comes the juxtaposition we've been put in at this point, correct? So obviously there are people that will be looking for said assassin, that will be looking for someone who is wearing blue.
Yes.
Correct. They are, whether they are from the Genevieve or whether they are trying to pin things on the Genevieve, that is obviously the connotation they are trying to push. And the only information we have is look for someone in blue, and if that information is incorrect, then
rest assured
we have tried our best and we have no fault at this point.
Just buy a whole bunch of manacles and put them all in manacles if they're wearing blue.
You are a deep cynic, m'lady. You had no information before who the assassin was, and now you have something. The sources of the Baroness will not be wrong on this.
I am not stating your sources are incorrect. I am stating we can do what we can do.
Of course.
That is it.
The Baroness has full faith in your abilities.
So
you are Dufresne, after all. You are no run-of-the-mill cell swords. You are problem solvers.
As we are reminded.
What is,
you you swore an oath to Dufresne, you should be riding this fraud by your oath alone. I should not have to tell you this.
I do not need to be reminded of things I have signed.
It is not your signature. It is the oath you swore to the Dufresne, milady.
Dufresne, not Dupre.
I have formulated a plan.
All right, let's hear it.
I have a plan. We know that this skullduggery is set to take place at the Masquerade Ball. We will go to the Baron, and we will tell him not to go to the party.
Well, bravo, bravo. I am sure your plan will work perfectly. You and being of such a high standard.
And then one of us dresses up as the Baron and goes in his place. We should make sure not to die.
Actually, that's...
It's not going to work.
Never.
No man will hide from his own party.
No man would let someone else take credit for his own party. Have someone that rank.
You could be wrong.
Well...
Again, as she has pointed out, I'm not of your...
Consider it a starting point.
So what do the servants do?
It makes sense in all accounts. If someone were to come to me and say, hey, they intended you dead, all you have to do is not get drunk and rub noses, I would say, yes, then I will not do these things.
I would agree, but...
So what do servants do with these things?
They serve.
Drinks. Food,
right, so they
clean up.
They carry around...
Sometimes get pushed into the broom closet, or no?
they carry around mugs of ale and...
Usually wine,
I
think
this mostly
going
to be wine.
So they have Peter Jacks of wine?
Yes.
They're holding?
Pitchers.
Yes.
Mostly, probably silver.
That's what I'm getting at, you see, I don't know. These things. So
typically wine is served out of a carafe or a pitcher, yes.
I don't know either, because as I've been told, things are done different. But I don't know. But I'm going to say this.
The wealthy
servants are going to be serving, and the men are going to be trying to get on the pretty servants, because this is how it's done in our class. That is what she means by they will be.
You see, the closest thing I know...
Defacing themselves. Debauchery, whatever you want to call it.
The closest thing I know of this is the one time I got my hands on one of the adventurous exploits of Lyndon Genevieve, the younger man of the people. when he was talking about one of these...
parties.
Sorries?
Soirees.
Soirees. And,
yes.
I can read, I just... You know, don't know all these words. So
that's a tip.
he was talking about one of these soirees, and like, you know, he was going into detail about how they was carrying these trays with handles and putting them down, and just like, so I need to make sure that if I'm going to this, and I'm obviously not going to be a noble, I need to know what to do with these. Drinks and food.
Speak to Ernst. I'm certain he can bring you up to speed on
Excellent.
The duties of a servant.
Right.
Usually it is a most pedestrian sort, carrying carafes of wine, as the lady has said.
Okay.
Would this be a full feast, or is this just simply a masquerade canapes?
Oh, it shall be a masquerade of the age. They will spare no expense.
Will there be a sit-down portion? Asking, or would this be more of a walking party?
No, the Rovanians will not sit to eat. They will stand and eat like...
I assumed.
The people they are.
I did not
But
know.
As they ordained soiree, they'd certainly sit down with their silver platters and spoons and whatever else and go through the rituals of the West. But here in the East, they would dare not do so. It'd be mostly finger foods.
Lord.
Snack trays.
As it is a masquerade.
Food stations. Catering.
As it is a masquerade.
Talk about catering.
It's like the garment.
As it is a masquerade, sometimes we like to pretend we're things that we aren't. So I'm just making sure this was not going to be of a different sort.
The fabulous thing I feel about this masquerade, should you be of the West and ignorant of the ways of the Rovanians, or should you be Rovanian and not born, I have to understand, as I am, the way these things work. What I have learned, being I was born very low. One thing I have understood and learned in the Baroness's court is this. There is as much knavery and conniving in the Eastern courts as there is in the Western courts. And despite the fact they may be a very different people, they will certainly make asses of themselves and they will act as they will. In fact, I would not be surprised to find people there who will not announce their names at all. They shall hide behind their masks. And
the entire time.
Exactly.
Of course.
So should one enter the masquerade with a mask on and act as you all are, I don't feel that would make you stand out. In fact, you may better fit in.
Wait, so...
But when you are put to task, if a conversation is to happen, that is when the true test begins.
So they would outwardly act maybe like a lowbone like myself.
I will not be surprised to find the mockery of Aridane faces upon their masks.
Quite a bit, yes.
So I could get in wearing a mask. It's just that if somebody actually wanted to do business, then...
All of us should wear masks. End of story. Everyone should. All
right.
So yeah, that should be something to procure.
There are certain other means of ingress. If you wish to go in as servants, I can certainly arrange for that, but we will have to make a decision on this quick, at least tonight, before the morning.
I'll wear a mask.
If someone thinks they could not pass themselves off as a Romanian, possibly higher born, would it be better for them to appear as a servant, I would think?
Having attended some of these meetings, I have heard of all manner of terrible accents. Grolstead accent, Aridane accent, Volkish accent. It is all part of the mockery. Yes.
Well, then, if someone is worried, they might say the wrong thing.
I think what she's saying is saying the wrong thing might get you further.
Well, that's not the wrong thing.
Well, I think it's better if I wear a mask.
Probably shouldn't say you're a kingsman.
I don't know. They might mock that, too.
That's all the information that I can tell you. That's the only thing I have learned so far. Tomorrow I shall be taxed immensely. Do you have the run of the home, the pavilion, and of the city if you wish? I have told Ernst to ferry you wherever you need to go by coach.
Oh.
Coachman. Indeed. Ernst comes from a very long line of servants. He is a hale.
He will do whatever you need of him within his
what facilities he has. He's very old man.
Say you, everyone else.
I think if you help me with what to put on the mask and some other things, I think we'll be all right.
Well, sounds like the details we can work out later, Sandy says.
Yeah.
We got well done with this damn thing. And from there, we will stop for the night. It's going to be 100 reward points, everybody.
Yay.
And any corruption tonight?
Yeah, there was some.
So we got a corruption. The wheel of corruption will be rolled. Let's.
I got no corruption.
That's right. So that's a order rank. We got no corruption.
It is an order rank.
Yay! Let's fix
the wheel and
that's right. So I will connect to the meeting owl and then fix the camera here onto it.
What's our current reward points at?
Do me a favor and flip the lid up real quick. 60 more rounds.
I'm about to buy my.
Stop.
Perfect. Thank you. That's great.
Sixth.
Stop.
Five.
Perfect. No, you're good. No. Don't do anything. You're good.
Okay.
So I'm gonna turn to the wheel of corruption real quick. I'm controlling it manually. So we're gonna roll our wheel of corruption and see what we get tonight. So. Tonight's roll is 6.
No corruption.
Yay! All right, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. Appreciate you watching, your patronage. Thanks for checking us out. We'll resume up with episodes 44 and 45 next week on Queen of Embers. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. See ya.